Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk wedding planning. Now, I don't mean the details of what color flowers are there, what am I wearing. It's not that type of podcast. But what I want to do is I want to highlight the difference of how once you're aware of how your mind works, how you take action in the future. So I've been married before, about 7, 8, maybe 9 years ago. You know, not always great with exact time matches of dates, but it was a little while back. And I'm getting married again in November. And I want to just talk through the difference in planning a wedding, you know, understanding what I want, working with my lovely fiancée to plan it. And I just wanted to share some of that in comparison with my previous wedding. So let's dive in. Okay, so let's dive into this interesting episode. Why did this one come up? So where it appeared, where this idea appeared from, is I was sitting down thinking about how different planning this wedding is to my last one. You know, when I went into my last marriage, you know, one, I'd never been married before, didn't understand, you know, much about it except what we all saw on television. My experience was driven from other people's experiences, not from anything I had experienced. And being dyslexic, being neurodiverse, one of the biggest challenges can be is that you're borrowing other people's experiences, but they might not actually suit you when it comes to the moment. Now, back then, I'd been diagnosed with dyslexia when I was young, but I didn't have a clue what it meant. I didn't know how it affected me. I didn't know how it played on my mind. And, you know, if I'm honest, it caused a lot of challenges. You know, a lot of issues in my life is probably why that marriage ended, if we're honest. You know, it was probably one of the key factors that I wasn't really conscious of how I was, what I needed in my life, and a bunch of other stuff. I was young and yeah, it didn't work. And so, but going back into the actual marriage side of things, when we were planning the wedding, I guess I attract neurodiverse people. I'm sure my ex-wife probably had some level of neurodiversity in her. And she took a lot of control. We had it in her country. She was from Hawaii. We had it in Maui. And it was all in all, it was a pretty darn good wedding. But what I realize when I sit back and think about it is, one, how stressed and anxious I let myself become across the whole process. I was always thinking about how other people would see the wedding, how they would experience it. And I didn't take very much time in the early parts of it to really think about truly what did I want? What would actually make me happy? How could I also make my future wife happy in that as well? And it was more about there were so many things happening. I didn't really know how to settle or sort myself out and kind of go into the wedding planning and the whole process in a relaxed way. And, you know, doing it in another country just adds a whole nother amount of stuff. So there were real bonuses of that. It was a fantastic experience. It was great to get friends and family around. But from an actual planning point of view, there was a lot of stress, right? There's a financial cost. There's a life cost. There's so much stuff. And you know, the stress was challenging. And, you know, I was trying to think back, what are the real little snippets, you know, that I look at that didn't work? And one of them was, you know, I because it was Hawaii, I liked the idea of not having to wear a suit and tie. And that's me down to a point. And, you know, I went and got some relatively nice stuff. It was shorts and a short-sleeved shirt. But I still, you know, if I'm honest, I still didn't feel very comfortable at it. I was not comfortable at my own wedding. And I also went into it not really thinking about having photos taken. Like, I naturally hate to have my photo taken. I'm like the most awkward selfie taker ever. I try sometimes, but it's not natural, right? And so all these things I hadn't really got set in my mind or thought out about them prior to the wedding. So I wasn't even sure where I needed to focus my attention. And I just let this anxiety build up on the day. Few beers, I was okay, but it led to a quite stressed experience, you know. And what's interesting, and I don't know about you, but in events in general, on the outside, people probably looked at me and went, he doesn't seem stressed. He doesn't seem like he's got a million things on his mind. Because it's very easy to put up a mask and just kind of be the person you think other people want to see to kind of keep yourself safe. And that was me before I had any awareness of this neurodiversity, dyslexia kind of world that I was living in and why I was the way I was. You know, let's fast forward past that interesting experience and a few experiences since, up until today, where myself and Holly are planning our wedding. Now, the big difference is, you know, we've both been married before, we've both had experiences, so I don't want to make this out to be only about neurodiversity. But one of the key things to be aware of is the way neurodiverse, well, 90-odd% of us that I've met at least, I'll probably say 100, but, you know, I never want to say 100%. The Weather Channel says 100 and it gets it wrong a lot. Let's just say majority of the people I've met, you know, we are naturally have quite a high level of kinesthetic learning. We learn from experience. You know, to drive a digger, we're not the ones that sit and read a 400-page manual. We're the ones that jump on the digger and start breaking things. Sometimes slowly, sometimes fast. We're that type of learner. And so from us both having been through it before, we kind of know a little bit about what to expect. We know a little bit about what we want, what we don't want. So we're walking into this with fresh eyes. But what we're also walking into it with is, you know, a new level of self-trust in ourselves to get this done, to make it our wedding, to be what we want. And I think, you know, we're both going into it with this kind of concept of it's not about, we're not doing this as a show for the people. We want everyone to enjoy themselves. We don't want anyone to feel left out, we want everyone to get on and everything. But we also really want to make this fun and enjoyable. From our point of view, you know, we see this as a celebration of who we are and what we want, not as we have to do this for other people, it's for their benefit. You know, it's kind of, we're going into this going, hey, if you come to a wedding, you don't want it, you know, go away, you know, kind of thing is kind of the feeling we're walking into it with, which is a good place to start. And I think that comes as much from experience. Where you see more of the neurodiverse way we're managing this is, you know, we're taking, and what's really working this time is we've started planning this, I want to say 6-9 months out. I'm sure some people plan a lot more than that. But what we've done is we've said, okay, you know, what is our pictures in our head? We're actually explaining and discussing what's our picture of what's going to happen. So when we started out, we got clear we want to get married in the bar that we first met in. Oh, that sounds crazy. It's a beautiful bar near a beach. It's got an event room and all this stuff. We were both, one of the benefits of being with someone similar and thinks the same way is like there's a lot of crossover in what you want. Probably usually stands to make a relatively good relationship. And so we could clearly define what our picture of it was, which was relaxed, fun, enjoyable. And we were able to actually, you know, start with a picture that matched. So we knew that we wanted to do it in the afternoon. We wanted it to be a bit creative. We wanted it to be, we found the location, and the location does food and drink. Now, if you're neurodiverse, if you can hand off responsibility, you know, I think the podcast the other day was all about responsibility and delegation. If we can delegate, so we're very conscious where we're going, the type of food they make, the type of drink. But if we can delegate them to manage their ordering part of that, so they know when we show up and leave, it takes a huge amount of stress off of us to make sure everyone knows what they're doing, right? So that's always a big tick. I know more about myself now than ever. Anything like that we can tick off is always wonderful. And so we got that picture clear early on. Now, I know a lot of people need checklists, they don't want to forget things, but we've kind of gone into this with this idea of going, we've got a clear picture, we don't have exact checklists and timeframes and dates and exact things we must do to succeed. We kind of know what we have to do, and we're kind of trusting it'll come together. So we sent out Save the Dates a little while ago, just as a beautiful photo. We sent it through Facebook Messenger and stuff, and we're like, awesome. And then about 3 months out, we've finally done invites with proper details on. And we didn't have a date. We had to do it. We just had a gut feeling, and we could trust our intuition that now was about the right time for that. And so we're like, wow, that's all done. You know, and at the same time, you know, Holly's been amazing. She knows what she wants, like, in flowers and stuff. So she's managed that part of it, and photography's more her thing. She can pick the person she wants. And we've kind of delegated together into the pieces that matter. And this is the other key lesson I've learned. And I was taught this by a business owner, and this couple, very successful, both neurodiverse as anything I've ever met. And one of them said to me, how we get through our relationship is if someone in our relationship is really, really passionate about something, much more passionate than the other one is about not having that thing, then they both agree to do it and that person runs it. So, for example, if the husband had an idea and said, we've got to do this, this is so important to me, and the other one had said, it's not really my thing, but I don't really mind either way, they would say yes. And that's what we've kind of done around this, is like, what's important? It's important that I choose the beer selection. You know, I'm really important to me, so that's on me. For Holly, you know, she's much more into the flower side of things and photography. You know, she wanted a certain photographer. Bang, that's yours. You want a certain florist? Bang, that's yours. You know, food is important to both of us, so we'll both select that together. So how we've delegated as a couple, how we've made all this work, is we've kind of gone down that path. If one of us is really pro something, we've agreed with the other one. And if one of us is really, really against, we've agreed with the other one as well. And we find this beautiful balance in the middle. The other piece as well is, and again, we won't know this until the wedding happens and everything works, but you know, it feels like an old me would have tried to create a checklist of 150 things we had to do, or find one online and try and mold my life into it, or we would mold our lives together into it, which isn't the way I work. It's not the way my brain works. And so we haven't done that. We're actually going with our gut. And we kind of actually know that in the week leading up, there's going to be a few things that we need to tidy up. Not the big stuff. It's, you know, pretty obvious, right? We'll have nailed it. But there'll be a bunch of little stuff we'll have not done yet. And we kind of know that's how we operate. So we're quite conscious that there probably will be the week running up, not stress, but there'll be some energy required to put in. So we've made sure we've got a couple of days off before the wedding, of course, to finish the planning that we may have missed, which in the old days would have scared the crap out of me. I'd have been like, what are you doing? Why is this not set up? Now I'm like, that's how I work best. I'm great when you know, you put me into the deep end and it happens. And same with Holly. She's the same. She's as good. And so we'll go into it with 98% done. That last 2%, we can use our energy to fire it off at the end. And whatever happens, happens. We will both be really happy with the outcome. And that's a really different experience. We're both going into this marriage with that in mind. You know, and the last thing I would say in this wedding that's going to be a bit different is, and maybe this comes down to finding the right relationship for you, is I sit there and I think, you know, two things I'm not great at is clothing and photography. And so, but what I'm very conscious of is for Holly, I want her to have a fantastic day. And this is because I care about her. I take the time because I feel so happy in our relationship to think, what can I do for her on the day? And for her, it's me actually taking the time to go get some proper tailored clothes fitted where I feel super comfortable the whole day. Because it's, if you've been to a wedding or you've been married or you are married, it's pretty intense, right? It's a long day and I want to feel comfortable in my clothes and how I feel about myself that I don't have to worry. And so that's a big thing I can do. And I'll be honest, it's a little bit for myself, but it's mainly to show her that I care and I'm putting the love and effort in. And then the other pieces as well with photography, I don't like my photo taken naturally, but I'm going to make every effort to have a beautiful smile on my face on that day for her. And I've, you know, and this is the other thing, I've had this conversation with her and she's quite aware that I don't like photography and she knows that I'm doing this for her. And she appreciates it. And I think the benefit of being able to be so open and clear on what you struggle with and be vulnerable on what you're uncertain with comes from knowing yourself. And the more awareness you have about the way you work, your brain works, your likes, your dislikes, you can feel comfortable telling your partner these challenges. And that's been the big change in this. In the last wedding, I would have just probably not mentioned it and carried on and tried to pretend that I'd worn a mask to kind of look the part. No one would say on the wedding anything was wrong, but deep down I knew there were more challenges. And I think that is when you've really got your head around the way your mind works, and you're aware, you're comfortable, and you can love yourself, it makes it a pretty beautiful thing. And that's what I wanted to share, guys. Have an epic rest of your day. And again, don't you worry, I will tell you about the wedding when it happens in November. If you've got any other topics you'd like me to talk about, or you'd like to spur my brain, make sure you message us on Facebook, on our Facebook page, or via truthaboutdyslexia.com. I read every single message, and we're always looking for fantastic and interesting guests with an interesting story they'd like to tell. So have an epic rest of your day, and I'll be back next week.